want to pray for this message here as we continue our series. We're going to wrap it up this morning. Our last message of the title, Under Pressure. We've been in a series called Under Pressure for the past month. And today, we're going to be preaching a powerful message on the cure for anxiety. The cure for anxiety. See, anxiety makes you a slave to misery. Anxiety will rob you of your joy. And anxiety is so common today in our society. You don't have to go far. You don't have to look much to find someone or to know someone that's going and suffering through anxiety. The interesting thing about anxiety is that it attacks with no preference. It attacks both the wealthy and the poor and the middle class. It attacks all ages. There's teenagers with anxiety. There's elders with anxieties. And there's people of all ages suffering with anxiety. So anxiety in our culture is just has become a plague. We're so common that it's sad how we have just adopted anxiety as a way of living. It's just normal to know and to hear about anxiety. And what's truly sad about anxiety is the fact that people today are saying there's no cure for it. You just have to manage it. And the people that say that don't know God. The people that say, I just have to manage this, have truly forgotten the God that we serve. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter. Listen, you may be suffering through anxiety. And people might say it's just who you are. It's something you're born with. It's hereditary. But let me explain why that is so false and so far from the truth. Because God will not give you something that He is strongly against. God will not give you, in birth, anxiety, and still be okay with it. So God has this cure for anxiety that's all over the Scriptures. And anxiety may be attacking your life today. But understand one thing, and then I'll pray. Anxiety is a choice. Anxiety is an attitude. Anxiety and attitude is not determined by your circumstance. It's not determined by people. Anxiety is a choice that is determined by you. Your attitude will determine the level of your joy and your happiness. And if you get your attitude right, you get your entire life right. So we're going to close this series this morning. We're going to be talking about the cure for anxiety, making you miserable when Christ wants you to be set free. Are you guys ready for this word this morning? Would you help me preach today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that we're about to receive. I just pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Father, we are tired, but we are faithful. I pray for those who are listening right now online. Father, I pray for all those who are here physically in this room. If anxiety is in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would find that cure for us and set us free. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, and then I'm going to read verse 23 and 24. Real short verse here. But notice what King David said here. David said, I praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. Now notice verse 23, what he says here. He prays to God and he says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything offensive in me and then lead me in the way of everlasting. Notice what David said here. He said, God, I have anxious thoughts, and they're coming from my heart. The word heart there is translated your emotions. So David was telling God, my emotions are not right, therefore it's affecting my thoughts. And he literally told God, I have anxiety. I have anxiety. David, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, had anxiety. To prove to you that anxiety will attack anyone, even great people, men and women of God in the church, King David was having an anxiety attack. See, King David understood pressure. He understood what it meant to be under pressure. David was anointed to be king. So imagine, as a young person, David is out in the field, he's tending the flock, he's tending the sheep, and Samuel comes up to him, a man of God, and says, you have been chosen to be king. Now I want you to picture this, because we look by and we just bypass this, but if you're David, you're raised in the country, you're up on the hills, you're rugged, you're not sophisticated. He didn't know much about Jerusalem. He didn't know much about God. He's out in the countryside. And a man of God comes up to him and says, your life is going to change. You're not going to be here tomorrow. God has a plan for your life. God has a destiny for your future. God is setting it up. And he said, you are going to be king. And he anointed him to be king. Now, I picture that David began to imagine and picture what it would be like to be king. I'm sure David understood what it meant to be king by the examples of Saul, and in his mind, he's thinking about the crown he's going to wear. He's thinking about the palace that he's going to live in. He's thinking about the power he's going to have to serve God. He's thinking of all the servants he's going to have. He's thinking of all the fame. He's thinking of all the fortune. Everything that came with becoming a king. But see, what David never imagined, what David never pictured, would be the trials and the pressure he would undergo to get to that anointing, to get to that place of his vision, to get to that place where God had called him. David never imagined that Saul would try to kill him by throwing a spear and cutting his head off. David never imagined hiding in caves. David never imagined committing sin and adultery and murder. David never imagined having to slay and fight a giant. David never imagined the battles that he would undergo. He only had a picture of what it would be like to be king, but he never imagined and pictured the process and the pressure that he would undergo to get to where God wanted him to be. You see, David teaches me one thing. Life is not always how you pictured. Can I get a witness this morning? Life is not always how you pictured. And what I don't understand about God is why he made it so much easier for Saul to become king and not David. Saul didn't have to go through lies and betrayal. Saul didn't have to fight giants. Saul didn't have to go and confront these enormous battles. And it almost seems unfair, but God made it so much easier for Saul to be king. He was anointed. They called him up. They praised him. And he was king. That's it. End of story. Not David, though. David would have to wait years to even step foot in the palace. He would have to fight and be betrayed and lied about and go through loss. Does it ever feel like in your life God is making it easier for someone else and not you? Does it ever feel like God is just making it so much easier for everyone around you? You're looking at everyone else's life and they seem happy, they seem together, they seem like they have it all under control, and you think to yourself and you're tempted to ask God, why is it that you do it for them but you don't do it for me? Why do you make their life so much easier but not mine? I don't understand why you blessed them, why you gave them a spouse, why you gave them children, why you gave them that job and the promotion. Why did you give them this and give them that? And God, when it comes to me, you just make it so hard on me, and nothing ever comes easy on me, and everything is just a struggle, and it's so much easier for everyone else but me. Show me your hands if that's you today. You're saying, Pastor, that's me. The rest are a liar in denial. And that's okay. Because you might think to yourself and say, why does God do that? Simple. God made it harder on David because God's calling for David would be greater than Saul's. Through David will come Jesus Christ. The greater the challenge, the greater the blessing. When God has a great plan for your life, He allows great trials, great pressure, great struggles. Through all of this, through everything David went through, God was preparing him. God was molding his character. And He might be doing that for you this morning. You may not be understanding why you're going through what you're going through. You may be wondering why other people have it so much easier. Could it be that God is saying, if you only knew what I had for you, if you only knew what you were called for, you would understand why I'm allowing you to suffer so much more than others. So when I thought about this, it brought me to just a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I went under immense pressure. Almost lost my mind. You're being, Pastor, what happened? Just wait, let me explain to you. I was on vacation. And this kid, who was part of the family, asked me to help him build this exact set of Legos. Now, I looked at it, and I thought, man, this is awesome. Why? Because look at it. It's people camping. I love camping. She's pretty hot. She's cute. Look at her. Yeah, she's hot. Look at her. She's camping. Look at him. They have a dog. They have a nice car. They have an RV. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. This is going to be fun. Until I opened the box. And it was all in pieces. And it looked nothing like the picture. And I was struggling to make sense of everything. What is this? Where does it go? What is the purpose of this? And I was losing my mind for hours as this kid just stood there watching me build a toy from Satan himself. And I couldn't figure anything out. And have you ever stepped on one of these things, parents? Nightmare. So I'm here trying to build it, trying to make sense of everything, trying to see nothing works, nothing fixed, not even the people came together because people are broken too. Amen? So the awesome picture that I had in mind was so far from reality. See, we pictured our lives so awesome. We pictured our lives so great. We pictured our lives so easy and blessed. But it's so far from the reality that you're living right now. And can I tell you the two worst things about this nightmare of a toy? When I was building it, the pastor in me had to study it. So I said, what is Legos anyway? Let's do some research. And did you know that the word Legos literally translates in Dutch to play well? It's the idea of playing happy and joyful. And I thought to myself, how is this? How is all of this enjoyable? Who makes fun? How is this fun? I don't understand. I was thinking of the creator of Legos, and I think, I don't understand. You are out of your mind to think this is fun, to think that someone can play well when everything is so frustrating and difficult, and I'm just angry, right? I'm still angry about it, and I can't figure anything out. And the creator says, play well. That's what Lego means, play well. And let me tell you the worst pressure about this Lego. It ruined my confidence. Because it literally says, ages 5 and up. So I'm thinking, there is a 5-year-old out there that has succeeded in this. And I'm 33 years old. And I'm losing it. Am I dumber than a 5-year-old? God, I don't know. And I started coming, where's this 5-year-old at? I got to meet this 5-year-old. How can this be a toy for 5 and up? And I felt like the dumbest person on earth. You ever felt like that? Your confidence has been shattered because you can't figure life out. Your confidence has been shattered because nothing makes sense. God is our creator. God has created your life. And I believe God expects us to play well, to enjoy our lives. The creator of Legos, Lucifer, said, he said, it was designed to develop children. Then I got it. It didn't come already made because the brokenness was to help me develop. See, when God hands you a trial, when God hands you a problem, when God gives you something that makes you suffer and you get frustrated, you get angry, you get upset because you can't figure it out. God says, I'm using this time. Like David, I'm using the battles. I'm using Saul. I'm using Goliath. I'm using the caves. I'm using all the struggles to develop you, to make you better. So play well. And you're thinking right now, Pastor, it's so hard to play well when life is so hard. It's so hard to be well when life is so difficult and frustrating. I don't play well with others. Some of you can't play well at work because you're frustrated with your boss. You're frustrated with a coworker. But maybe God has put those people in your lives to develop you. You say, I don't play well in my marriage. It's so frustrating. My wife is like Legos, makes no sense. Complicated. And I can't play well because they don't understand. You don't play well with your kids because you're tired, you're frustrated. And some of you, you don't play well in church. Church. You get angry, you get upset, you come into the house of God, and you're like, I'm not playing well today. I'm not going to worship. I'm mad. Pastor didn't say hi to me. Well, why didn't you say hi to me? I'm not going to play well. And you excuse it, and we justify our behavior by saying, well, my life is difficult. I'm under pressure. Life is hard. Nothing makes sense. I'm going through a lot, so I'm not going to play well. I'm going to be rude. I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to be prideful. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be hurtful because life is so broken right now. I cannot play well. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and say, hey, play well. Play well. Smile at them. Because life may not always be how you pictured. Life may not always appear how you thought it was going to be. And you may be living a reality you never expected. You never expected a job loss. You never expected divorce. You never expected to lose a child. You never expected. It was not in the picture, the perfect picture of the life you feel you're entitled to. Who am I preaching to today? You're upset. You're angry. You're frustrated. Because life is just broken. Can I tell you something? You may not understand what this is and where it goes or the purpose of it. But the Creator put it there for a reason. See, God is the Creator of your life. And you may not understand what it is you're going through. But if God has put it in your life, it serves a divine purpose that far outweighs your understanding. And you need to trust that whatever God has allowed in your life, it is for a purpose, for the good of those who love Him. Until then, can we play well in the name of Jesus? You learn from David. See, David taught me you can't always control what happens in your life. You can't control people. Amen? You cannot control people. Some pressures in life cannot be avoided. Let me tell you what David taught me. See, David couldn't control Saul and his jealousy and his anger. David couldn't control Goliath and his mockery. David couldn't control his brother and his father and their rejection. There's a lot of circumstances in your life you have no control over. There are certain people you have no control over. Certain times in your seasons in your life you have no control over. Let me tell you what you do have control over. And that's how you think. And oftentimes, it's not the situation that's killing you. It's the thoughts about the situation that's doing the real damage. See, David didn't say, God help me because of Saul. David didn't say, God help me because of Bathsheba. David didn't pray, God help me because of my dad and my brothers and the battles and the wars and the cave. He didn't say, Lord help me. The one area David recognized trouble in was his thoughts. He said, God help me. Because I have anxiety. God help me because I have anxious thoughts. So though I can't control what people do, I can't control what people say, I can't control the circumstances that happen or that will happen, but I can control how I react and how I think in regards to my situation. And if you can control your thoughts, you can be set free from anxiety. Because that's where anxiety all stems from. Anxiety is so damaging that God tells you, don't have it. Well, Pastor, it's hard because of my job, my situation, my health, my this, my, it's so hard not to be anxious. You see, when you have fear, fear is a negative emotion over something painful. When you have worry, worry is when you dwell, mentally, you dwell on something that you're currently going through and that is troubling you. And when you have anxiety, it's different from fear and worry, because anxiety is the fear and the worry of what is uncertain in your life. Anxiety is worse than fear and worry because anxiety takes fear and worry and puts them in the area of your life that you are uncertain about. There are so many things in your life you just don't know. That's what has you afraid. You're uncertain. Am I going to keep my job or not? Are they going to fire me? Anxiety comes. You get nervous. You get anxious about your children. Are they going to grow up to be okay? Are they going to grow up to love the Lord? Are they going to grow up to be members of society, functional? I don't know what I'm going to... Oh, my kids. And then anxiety comes. You begin anxious about your health. You become anxious about your money. You become anxious about your future. Oh my God, I'm 30. I'm 40. I'm still single. What if? What if? Oh my gosh. What if? And you begin to worry and be afraid of what is uncertain in your life. David's anxious thoughts came as a result of what he was so uncertain about. What's interesting about David is as he went to God, he was honest and said, Lord, I'm anxious. If there's anything about anxiety, I can tell you, it's not only that it's damaging and keeps you in bondage to misery, but God doesn't want you with anxiety. And we know this because 1 Peter 5, 7 through 8 says, cast all your what? Anxiety. See, I love it because God doesn't say you're never going to feel anxious. No, he says anxiety is going to come. But when it does, how will you handle it? How will you react? God is not saying don't feel anxious, because that verse wouldn't be there then. He's saying when anxiety comes into your life, this is what you have to do. You have to cast it. Cast your anxiety. Now let me explain something about this Greek word cast in the Bible. It's not let it go. It is not. Listen, how many of you have certain things in your life you cannot let go? Amen? You can't let it go. So I can't handle people that if I tell them I'm going through this, I trouble, let it go. Let it go. I would never preach on this pulpit and tell you, let it go. God doesn't say, let it go. Let go of what that person did. Let go of how they hurt you. Let go of your problem. Let go. Yeah, you're sick. Let it go. They hurt you. They lied. Let it go. Then you'll become a passive rug where everyone walks on. If you become, Christianity is not about letting things go. So what does the word cast literally mean? If not let it go, it literally means to hand over. Is an act of surrender and lifting a burden off you and putting it on someone else. It almost seems unfair, but God says, when anxiety comes into your life, I want you to give it up to me. Put it on me. Lift the burden off you and put me the burden. Why? Because nothing burdens God. What you're worried about today, God is not worried about. What you're afraid of right now, God doesn't fear. Are you guys getting this morning? You might say, whatever keeps you up at night does not keep God up. Think about that for a second. Because God said, cast all your anxieties on me. Surrender it to me, because why? I care for you. God cares so much for you, He understands the damage of anxiety, and He says, I want you to give me this anxiety because I know the damage it's going to do in your life. I know the tears it's going to cost you. I know the thoughts it's going to bring to you. I know how you're going to lose sleep. You're going to think of suicide. You're going to think of giving up and quitting. I know what anxiety does, and I don't want you living like that. I care too much about you. So give it to me. Give it to me. Cast it upon me. Because I care for you. God knows the damage of anxiety. And the reason you're anxious today is because you have forgotten the promises of God and you have not surrendered what you're anxious about over to the Lord. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be self-controlled. Notice the warning and alert. Your enemy, the devil, is roaming around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Isn't it interesting that in the context of anxiety, God mentions the devil? Because Satan loves to have you anxious. Satan wants you afraid. He wants you worried. He wants you anxious because he knows it drifts you apart from God and His Word. And the Bible refers to him as a roaring lion, which is interesting because the only reason a lion roars is to put fear in his prey and paralyze them. Did you understand me today? What the devil does is speak. He roars so that what you hear, your thoughts, paralyzes you. Some of you are paralyzed today with fear and worry and anxiety. The devil has you. And that's where he wants you. God says clearly in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious. He didn't say feel anxious. He said be anxious. Do not be anxious. About what? Do not be anxious about. Can you preach it to your neighbor right now? Say, whisper it. Anything. Anything. Sound creepy right now. But you know something about what God says here? He says, don't be anxious about anything. That word, anything, in the New Testament Bible is a Greek word, madis, which literally translates no person, no thing, without doubt. God says, I don't want you to live in doubt. I don't want you to live in anxiety about any person or anything. I don't care who they are, what they mean to you. Don't worry about them. For anyone anxious because of a person, for anyone anxious because of a thing, God says, don't worry about that thing. It ain't a thing, girl. It ain't a thing. It ain't a thing. Nothing. No person, no thing, without a doubt. Don't you worry about it. Why? Because God is in control over areas of your lives that are uncertain right now. That is it. God is in control of what you have no control over. Why do you think when you fly on a plane, the pilot tells you to relax? Because you are not going into that cockpit for 1 second and you're going to tell that pilot how to fly. He says, you do nothing, relax. What about turbulence? You can't do anything. You ever feel like your life is shaking? You can't do anything. You sit back and relax. And enjoy, play well. Play well. See, people that trust God play well. They have joy, they have peace, they're nice, they're kind, they're compassionate because they have cast all their anxieties on God and have given it to the Lord. And I know what you're thinking because you guys are smart. Some of you. I'm not. Look, 5 years old. Can't do it. It's still broken. Well, Pastor, how do I just cast The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer, surrender it to God. Well, how do I ask God? How do I pray? Because if you've ever prayed, Lord, help me with this anxiety, that's not going to work. Am I right? How many times have you prayed that? Lord, help me with anxiety. And you come out and you're more crazy. You're more afraid. You're more worried. Doesn't work. Why? How do I cast my anxieties on God? How do I pray to God? You pray what David prayed. David did not go to God and say, take away my anxiety. Give me peace. Give me joy. God, I want to play well. Take it away. Come on, waiting. Take it away. Take it away. Come on, take it away. David didn't do that. David went up to God and said, God, if you're listening right now, my life is not what I imagined. You told me I would be king, but God, Saul tried to cut my head off twice. And God, my father rejected me and my brothers, and I'm in a cave right now. And God, I've been betrayed. I'm alone. I have no friends. God, life is so hard. It's so far from what I imagined. God, I have anxiety. I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just don't know if I can make it. Have you ever felt, as we close, like telling God, God, I don't think I'm going to make it. God, I don't think that I'm going to survive this. Life is just too hard. It's too difficult. So look at what David prays here. He said, God, I'm anxious. First, you need to acknowledge that to God. I'm anxious. That was a huge red flag for David. He said, okay, there's something wrong because my thoughts are not right. I'm anxious. David knew his anxiety came from his thoughts. So he said, God, search me. We all say, search me. Sir, that is a hard prayer. You know what David was saying? He said, Lord, search me and let me know if there's anything I'm doing wrong. Let me know if there's anything hurtful inside me, if there's anything in me that's hindering, if there's anything in me that's causing me the anxiety. Why? Because David told us here through this scripture that some of your anxiety today is your fault. This is where the sermon turns and you don't like it anymore. But I got to preach it. Can I preach this morning? David said, search me and let me know if there's anything hurtful and anything that I'm doing wrong. When was the last time you prayed like that? When was the last time you prayed and said, God, show me what's wrong? Not with them, not with my life. Show me what is wrong with me. And if there's anything that doesn't honor you, help me. Because some anxiety is your doing. Let me prove this to you. David had anxiety because of his sin. Hiding his sin. David had anxiety because he committed adultery and murder and disobeyed God. David couldn't sleep at night. David had anxiety because it affected his life and his home and his family, and his whole life was affected by the choice he made to commit adultery, to lie, and to murder. That's why when he was confronted with it, he had to get real with God and say, some of my anxiety is because of my sin, and maybe some of the anxiety you have in your life is because you are not doing it God's way. And you're disobedient and you're rebellious. And then you wonder, why is my life so broken? Why is everything falling apart? Are you doing it God's way? Maybe that's why some of your anxiety is in your life. Because you're disobedient. David had anxiety at home. Can I tell you, David was a great man in the battlefield and a horrible man at home. I mean, I got guys like that. You're great at your job. You're hardworking. You're a warrior. But you're a lousy husband. Terrible father. You're great out there. You're terrible inside the house. That was David. David was a godly king outside. But inside his home, he was a monster. Some of his anxiety in his family and his home was David's fault. Read the Bible. His son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. They tell David about this and he does nothing. Passive. So then years go by and Absalom takes revenge on Amnon and kills him. And then they went up to David and said, "Hey, can you control your sons? One of them raped a girl, the other one murdered." And David said, "Nah, don't worry about it. Passive. And today, some of your anxiety at home is because you're a passive parent. Oh, yeah. You're a passive parent. See, what you're passive about today will become a problem tomorrow. I'll let them do what they want. I want peace. Let them go where they want to go, date who they want to date. I don't care. I don't want drama in my home." You don't want drama. You better get that chancleta, girl. You better do something. That's Old Testament stuff. 1980s and 90s. Amen? Don't be passive. Passive. You know why David was passive? Because of his guilt. Notice his son, one son raped, the other one murdered. What did David do? He raped and he murdered. He raped Bathsheba. He murdered Uriah. David wanted to confront his children, but the devil whispered, "Who are you to tell your kids how to live? Look at you. You're going to tell your kids how to serve God and you don't even go to church. You're going to tell your kids how to live honorably, but look, they know that you lie." So the devil convinces you and says, "Yeah, you're right. Who am I? I'm just going to let it go." No matter what you've done, you're still their parent. And God has given you those children to guide in His way. And David was guilty over his past, and he had all the anxiety in his home came because of him being so passive as a father. Some of the anxiety David had was because of his father. He was rejected by his own father. Many of you understand the rejection of a father, the rejection of a parent, the rejection of a family member, the rejection of someone that should have loved you and cared for you. A lot of you harbor the pain of the rejection of family, the abuse that you suffered. Emotionally, sexually, physically. The day David's father didn't even count him among his brothers was probably one of the worst days in David's life. And it was the same day that God anointed him because God was telling David, "I'm about to do something great out of the worst day of your life." And I believe David got over his bitterness because David wrote, he's a father to the fatherless. David wasn't fatherless. So why did he write that? Because he felt fatherless. Because his father wasn't acting like a father. How did David get over it? The anxiety of rejection. The Bible says, in the cave of Adullam, in the Old Testament, the cave where he was hiding and protecting, his father was in there. And his brothers, the same father and the same brothers that rejected him, David took the initiative to bring in and protect and love. How did David overcome the anxiety of rejection? He loved those who did not love him. And that's hard. But maybe he said, God, search me. Okay, David, you want me to search you? You have bitterness. Okay, David, you want me to search you? You're a passive father. Okay, David, you want me to search you? You're a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer. That's why you have all this anxiety. Because you're not doing it my way. And when David came to terms with himself, he said, I've sinned against you. And God said, you're forgiven, and restored him. At the end of his life on his bed, he was in his right mind. See, the devil wants you broken. The devil wants you hurt. The devil wants you guilty of your past. He wants you bitter. He wants you in anxiety. But some of the anxiety in your life is your own doing. If you have anxiety in your marriage, examine yourself and say, hey, search me. Don't tell God, search me. Ask your spouse, search me. What's hurting you inside me? If you're having anxiety over your finances, could it be that you're not doing it God's way? Are you guys getting this morning? Because some of the anxiety in your life is our doing. So if it's your doing, you confront it and correct it. Make it right with God. But if your anxiety is not your doing, because sometimes anxiety is just natural out of circumstances that are out of your control, then if it's not something you need to correct because it's not your doing, then it's something you simply have to surrender and trust God with. It's that simple. So I'm panicking, right? Because there's a kid watching me. He wants his Legos built. I've lost confidence because there's a 5-year-old that's smarter than me. I'm frustrated. I'm broken because of all this. It was the worst vacation ever that day. I almost gave up. Almost told the kid, let's go return this thing. I'll get you a real toy. It's already built. And then I saw something. The Creator left instructions. If I'm not doing it this way, I get that. If you don't do it this way, you get anxiety. You guys with me today? The Creator of Legos left instructions and said, if you just follow, because I understand what I built. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He acknowledged that God created him in his life. And if God is the creator of your life, God is also the one that knows where you should go, what you should do, and how you should fix it. Anyone that's broken and living with anxiety is living apart from God and His Word. David said, search me, God. He confronted and he corrected. If you're not willing to do life God's way, and you're going to live apart from God, you're headed towards anxiety, brokenness, and you'll never fulfill the picture that God has for your life. Can I pray for you this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed today. There is a cure for anxiety. And it's casting what you're anxious about to the Lord. You may not be living the life you pictured. Your life may be broken, but God has left instructions and says, do it my way. Maybe your anxiety is because of you and your doing. Maybe your anxiety is not your doing. But whether it is your doing or not your doing, you need to go to the Lord, confront it, and correct it. I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning has just convinced you today that there are things in your life you're doing wrong, and it's why you have what you have. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has shown you this morning that whatever is not in your control, God is. And you need to trust Him once and for all and surrender it upon Him. Be anxious for nothing. If you're anxious about a person, if you're anxious about a thing, show me your hands today. Say, Pastor, this is me. To cast my anxiety. God bless you. See your hands there everywhere. If you're here this morning saying, Pastor, I'm anxious because I have not done it God's way. But I want to. And today I confront my sin. And I'm anxious today because of my choices. Like David, he had to confront his sin. He had to confront his parenting. He had to confront his bitterness. What is the Lord telling you this morning to confront so that you can be set free from your anxiety? God says, do not be anxious. It is a direct command. Anxiety is direct violation to the Word of God. Because anxiety tells God He is not God, He is not in control. Whatever area of anxiety you have anxiety about, it's an area you have not surrendered to God. Can we all stand to our feet this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed. As I close this series up today. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, no one's looking around right now. You're here this morning and saying, Pastor, I want to do it God's way. The first thing you have to do in order to do it God's way is you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is Lord and that He died for them, he will be saved. Right now, whoever you are, whatever you've done, you can be forgiven. You can be received. God will take you as you are. But you need to surrender your life to Him and confess today that you are a sinner who needs to be forgiven. If this is you this morning, I want you to put your hand up. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. If you're listening to me online right now, I'm going to pray with you as well. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I confess, Lord, that I need you. So today, I give you my life. Take it. For I am yours now. In Jesus' name. That prayer, I want to meet you after church and talk to you after service. Just say, hey, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I have Jesus, I walk with the Lord, but lately my life has been broken, anxiety is attacking me, I don't sleep, I don't eat, I cry. I have thoughts of ending my life, giving up. I have thoughts that are just keeping me in bondage right now. I'm anxious about my life, my future. I'm anxious about my past. I'm guilty. I have shame. I have no peace. I have no joy. Today, the Lord just says to you this morning, cast it on me. Cast it. Give it up. Give up. If you're going to give up, you give it up to God. Sometimes the greatest words you can say is, Lord, I give up. Because when you give up, that's when God comes down. So what area in your life do you need to give up to God? Is it a person? Is it a thing? You say, Lord, I now cast this. You pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, into your hands I give you what I am anxious about. You tell the Lord right now what you're anxious about. You tell him. You confess it. And now say, Lord, I surrender that to you. And I trust you. And I give up. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message and for this whole series. Father, I pray that you set your children free from anxiety as we cast our cares on you. Life may not always be what we pictured, but we know that every broken piece in our life serves a divine and greater purpose. So help us to play well, to be your children, to live in peace, to live in joy, not to live in anger or frustration. Holy Spirit, as an act of obedience, we now cast and give you the responsibility over what we're anxious. Set us free in Jesus' name. Give him a shout of praise this morning for saying, Pastor, I've been set free. Thank you.